during the 7-week trial. I turn and glance at my wife Mary, seated at the back of the court, head bowed, ashen-faced, a son on either side to comfort her. I'm led downstairs to be met by a court official, and thus I begin an endless process of form-filling. Name, Archer. Age, 61. Weight, 178 pounds, I tell him. What's that in stones? The prison officer demands. 12 stone 10 pounds, I reply. I only know because I weighed myself in the gym this morning. Thank you, sir, he says, and asks me to sign on the bottom of the page. Another Secura Corps man, known by the prisoners as Water Rats, leads me down a long, bleak, cream-painted, bricked corridor to I know not where. How long do you give you? He asks matter-of-factly. 4 years, I reply. Oh, not too bad. You'll be out in 2, he responds, as if discussing a fortnight on the Costa del Sol. The officer comes to a halt, unlocks a vast steel door, and then ushers me into a cell. The room is about 10 feet by 5. The walls are still cream, and there is a wooden bench running along the far end. No clock, no sense of time, nothing to do except contemplate, nothing to read except messages on the walls. Harry was here. Fuck all judges. Jim Dexter is innocent, okay? A key is turning in the lock, and the heavy door swings open. The Secura Corps man has returned. You have a visit from your legals, he announces. I march back down the long corridor. Barred gates are unlocked and locked every few paces. Then I am ushered into a room only slightly larger than the cell to find my silk, Nicholas Purnell, QC, and his junior, Alex Cameron, awaiting me. Nick explains that 4 years means 2, and Mr. Justice Potts chose a custodial sentence, aware that I would be unable to appeal to the parole board for early release. Of course, they will appeal on my behalf, as they feel Potts has gone way over the top. Gilly Gray, QC, an old friend, had warned me the previous evening that as the jury had been out for 5 days, and I had not entered the witness box to defend myself, an appeal might not be received too favourably. Nick adds that in any case, my appeal will not be considered before Christmas, as only short sentences are dealt with quickly. Nick goes on to tell me that Belmarsh Prison in Woolwich will be my first destination. At least it's a modern jail, he comments, although he warns me that his abiding memory of the place was the constant noise, so he feared I wouldn't sleep for the first few nights. After a couple of weeks, he feels confident I will be transferred to a Category D prison, an open prison, probably Ford or the Isle of Sheppey. Nick explains that he has to leave me and return to Court Number 7 to make an application for compassionate leave so that I can attend my mother's funeral on Saturday. She died on the day the jury retired to consider their verdict, and I'm only thankful that she never heard me sentenced. I thank Nick and Alex for all they have done, and am then escorted back to my cell. The vast iron door is slammed shut. The prison officers don't have to lock it, only unlock it, as there is no handle on the inside. I sit on the wooden bench to be reminded that Jim Dexter is innocent, okay? My mind is curiously blank as I try to take in what has happened and what will happen next. The door is unlocked again, about 15 minutes later, as far as I can judge, and I'm taken to a signing-out room to fill in yet another set of forms. A large, burly officer, who only grunts, takes away my money clip, £120 in cash, my credit card, and a fountain pen. He places them in a plastic bag. They are sealed before he asks, "Where would you like them sent?" I give the officer Mary's name and our home address. After I've signed 2 more forms in triplicate, I'm handcuffed to an overweight woman of around 5'3", a cigarette dangling from the corner of her mouth. They are obviously not anticipating any trouble. She is wearing the official uniform of the prison service, a white shirt, black tie, black trousers, black shoes and black socks. She accompanies me out of the building and onto an elongated white van, not unlike a single-decker bus, except that the windows are blacked out. I am placed in what I could only describe as a cubicle, known to the recidivists as a sweatbox, and although I can see outside, the waiting press cannot see me. In any case, they have no idea which cubicle I'm in. Cameras flash pointlessly in front of each window as we wait to...